This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Later, we're going to be talking about developments in a cure for hepatitis C, but first, prison rape. Texas is the worst state in the union for this crime. 11 years ago, Congress passed and President George W. Bush signed into law the Prison Rape Elimination Act. Parts of the law are due to take effect soon, but Governor Rick Perry says Texas will not abide by the law, and he will not certify that Texas prisons are meeting that standard. Perry said these standards are impossible for Texas, and it is, again, federal government overreach. But new documents released under the Freedom of Information Act from the Texas Department of Criminal Justice show that Texas is near meeting those standards. This new information is casting a shadow on Perry's position and causing some to wonder if Perry is politicizing the issue of prison rape. What do you think? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, or you can email us your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org or comment directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. We're also going to be talking about mental health and prisoners in Texas and how the Texas prisoners sometimes die in the summer heat in our unair-conditioned state prisons. Again, that number is 210-614-8980. Our guest this half hour, Michelle Dietsch. She is a senior lecturer at the LBJ School of Public Affairs at UT Austin. And Lance Lowry, he is a correctional officer and the president of the Huntsville-based local of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you.
So, Michelle, let me ask you about how do we know that Perry, that Texas is not that far from reaching these standards on from the Prison Rape Elimination Act?
Well, first of all, Texas has actually taken the issue of prison rape pretty seriously for quite some time, starting with its implementation of the Safe Prisons Act, even before the PREA standards came into effect. And since the PREA standards were adopted by the Department of Justice in 2012, they've really made strides to try to comply with these standards. They've brought in a consultant to help provide technical assistance on some of the more challenging standards. And that consultant group, which is one of the most respected consultants on these issues in the country, concluded that they were fairly close. The agency was fairly close to coming into compliance with its policies.
And doesn't that make it puzzling about Governor Perry's reaction to the standards coming online?
Well, it certainly was a surprise when he came out with his letter, because most of the correctional officials in the state have certainly been working towards compliance and really have not given any indication that they were not going to be meeting those standards.
One of the issues that Governor Perry focused on when saying that Texas could not meet the standards was this cross-gender monitoring of prisoners when they were taking a shower, female prisoners unable to monitor male prisoners. And apparently, has that really turned out to be as big of a deal as Perry first made it to be, Michelle?
Well, there's no question that that is definitely one of the more challenging standards for the agency to meet, because there are, of course, so many female officers working with male inmates and male officers working with female inmates. But nevertheless, the consultants that came in to look at this issue concluded that with just a few small adjustments to policy or putting in place some privacy screens, making announcements when there are female officers on the male units, that those challenges can be met relatively easily.
Let's bring Lance Lowry into the conversation, and he is the correctional officer and president of the Huntsville-based local of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. So Lance, as more information is coming out about how Texas is preparing for the Prison Rape Elimination Act implementation, to how it seems like Governor Perry, what's your reaction to Governor Perry's position?
Just stunned that they took the position. The Texas Department of Criminal Justice has been working on this issue for several years, had contracted out with the Moss Group on this issue. I have personally consulted with the Moss Group several months ago. attended one of their workshops in Ohio, and I'm just stunned that we've taken this approach. It opens up the door to a tremendous amount of liability, not only for the state of Texas, but the staff themselves.
Okay, so our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Kathy has called in. Let's get her on the line. Kathy, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks. I remember you had this issue a few weeks ago as well, and you had, I think it was a head of a prison guard organization.
Yeah, and he's with us today.
He said that one of the major issues was just the number of staff, that they were understaffed. Is that really the only thing blocking the complete implementation? I mean, honestly, I think Rick Perry's just doing political grandstanding because he can. But what is the last piece of the puzzle here?
Sure. What's holding things up? Kathy, thanks for that great question. We appreciate your participation. Michelle, what's the big bug in this ointment?
Well, there's no question that there's a huge problem with understaffing in the facilities, particularly in some facilities located in more rural areas where it's hard to find staff, particularly because they're competing with the oil fields. And staff are not well paid, and that makes it very challenging to get staff and to keep them. The turnover rates are very high. The inexperience levels are very high. So it's a huge factor in all the problems going on in the prisons, including the implementation of the Prison Rape Elimination Act standards. It's not the only issue here, but it certainly contributes to it.
So, Lance, you want to weigh in? This is right in your wheelhouse.
I definitely agree. The staffing levels at some of these facilities in the areas where oil fracking is going on, some of those units we're seeing only staffing levels about 50%, and that is dangerously low. When you add these standards in place, it does create a predicament, especially when it comes to gender cross-viewing. You may not be allowed to work females in certain positions, normally where you could pull another male in real easily and strip search an inmate, and this does create a problem in that aspect, and I think that's one of the main reasons Perry may have done the grandstanding. You know, it kind of stumped me, you know, that he would come out and announce this on a Friday afternoon and send this letter off. I don't think it's necessarily just, you know, grandstanding to Washington, though he may have presented it that way. I think there's a deeper root in that.
So he has a bigger strategy. We're going to dive into that a little bit more. We're talking about prison rape in Texas, about a new law that's supposed to eliminate it, and whether or not Texas is going to get on board. Also, we want to talk about mental health issues in Texas prisons as well. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half hour, we're going to be talking about developments in a cure for hepatitis C. But right now, we're talking about problems facing Texas prisons. We've been talking about prison rape in Texas. We're the worst state in the nation for that. Also, tomorrow, the Texas House holds a committee hearing on the incident of mental illness among prisoners in Texas. And scheduled to testify that one of our guests, Michelle Deitz. Michelle, what are you planning on telling our Texas House?
Actually, I'm not planning on testifying at that hearing, but I have been working with the committee to help plan for the hearing.
Okay, so what do we need to know?
Well, the issue of mental health and the criminal justice system is can't be overstated, and that's true not just of our prisons but of our jails. Jails have become the largest mental health institution in the country. That is really, if you look at the Harris County Jail, Dallas County Jail, really any jail facility, they just are dealing with the challenges of a very difficult population that in many cases shouldn't be there. The prisons are also filled with inmates who have mental illness conditions. And this affects everything from the kinds of services and programs and treatment that they need to the levels of violence and and the way that they are housed within the facilities.
And Lance Lowry, you are the correctional officer and the president of the Huntsville-based local for the American Federation and State, County, and Municipal Employees, basically the prison guard union in Huntsville. So this falls upon you and your brothers in the union. And do you feel like you're have been set up to fail in this area, not trained, not given the right equipment?
We've definitely been set up to fail in this area. What we're going to be seeking is additional training for correctional officers on how to identify and deal with these individuals with the special needs. You know, unfortunately, the state of Texas, in our prison system, we have become the new treatment facilities for the mentally ill. And alarmingly, we're seeing a lot more of these individuals end up in the institutional setting, end up in administrative segregation, and we're looking at different ways to curtail these issues, such as pretrial diversions and other systems we can use for lower-level felonies to divert these individuals into treatment programs they need to be in instead of prisons.
Our phone line is 614-8980, 614-8980, if you want to join the conversation. But, Lance, when you say the administrative segregation, that's solitary confinement is where you're putting.
Pretty much in Texas, we use the term administrative segregation to separate them from the rest of the general population, where they would be in a single cell, which would be under solitary conditions.
Right. And so no human contact for days. And we're finding out that this is actually the worst thing you can do for a person who may be having a mental breakdown.
Yes, it's the equivalent of locking your children in the closet for bad behavior, and we recognize this and are looking for methods we can employ, such as step-down programs, use of technologies. The state of Texas has made wonderful use of computers and technologies at the Estelle unit for the ADSEG pre-release program, which is a step-down program to allow inmates to reintegrate into society. These inmates are placed in this program 90 days before release, and what I'm seeing out of this program is a wonderful result so far.
Michelle, you wanted to jump in on this?
Sure. I think that the program that Lance is referring to is an excellent program, and I'm very pleased that it's in place. But I think it's important to point out that, first of all, it's only a fraction of the inmates that can take advantage of it. And secondly, inmates remain in administrative segregation status for years on end. There are inmates that are being released directly to the streets after having spent 20 years or more in that status. And we need to think about it. These are not people that are being locked up, thrown away for the rest of their lives. They're coming back and becoming our neighbors again. And I'm not sure any of us want to live next door to someone who spent the last 20 years in a cell 23 hours a day locked up without human contact.
So, Michelle, what are some alternatives?
Well, I think that the step-down program that Lance is referring to is really important. There's a number of states around the country that have started looking into more innovative strategies for dealing with this population. No one denies that there are inmates that need to be separated from the general population, either because of their behavior in prison or because of the risks that they present. The question is whether they really need to have such completely harsh conditions imposed on them that can actually contribute to mental breakdowns and deterioration, physical deterioration, leading to, in many cases, suicidal tendencies, hallucinations, and other kinds of problems. I think that if we really want prisons to be places where people can become rehabilitated and reenter society safely again, then we want to be giving them services and programs even while they're separated from the rest of the general population.
So, Michelle Deitch, a senior lecturer at the LBJ School of Public Affairs at UT Austin, another issue that popped up, going back to this issue of prison rape in Texas and the PREA standards that they were talking about, one of them is getting 17-year-olds out of our prison system, our adult prison system. In Texas, we do sentence 17-year-olds as adults, and where are you in that?
Well, actually, I testified before the committee, the House Criminal Jurisprudence Committee, on this issue last month. Texas is one of only 10 states in the country that set the age, the maximum age to be in juvenile court at below age 18. So most of the country thinks that you're an adult when you turn 18, but in Texas we say it's at 17.
Are these for like adult crimes, like, you know, like murder and armed robbery, or just any crime when you're 17?
It is any crime, whether you're talking about shoplifting or capital murder. So the day that you have your 17th birthday, you're an adult for all criminal justice purposes. And my research on this issue has shown that the vast majority of these 17-year-olds are actually misdemeanants. They've committed crimes like possession of marijuana or theft, minor levels of theft, disorderly conduct, vandalism, that sort of thing. And for many of these kids, being in the adult criminal justice system leaves them with lifelong consequences, regardless of whether they go to prison or not. They get an adult criminal record, which will affect their ability to find a job or get educational loans, find housing. They can be denied licenses. And it's a matter of public record. Their criminal records are searchable for these very minor offenses that they've committed. The reality is that we have a mechanism under current state law where if someone a youth has committed a really serious offense, they can be certified to stand trial as an adult and then transferred to the adult criminal justice system. If we raise the age to 18 from 17, we could still do that with the most serious offenders and put the kids that need to be in the adult system in the adult system, but keep the vast majority of them in the juvenile system where they can get the kind of programs and treatment and services that they need.
So Lance Lowry, working as a correctional officer at Huntsville, do you see 17-year-olds coming into the prison system and being folded into the general population?
Well, they're kept separate in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. We have a separate program, the Youth Offender Program, YOP program we have in place. They're sent to units such as the Clemens down by Angleton is one of the programs they have. Recently, they've expanded it out to the Travis County State Jail and have that in place. But these youth offenders are housed separately from other offenders, and we would like to see them placed in separate facilities instead of integrated around other inmates. I mean, just the liability for our officers, our members, is tremendous. The big problem we're facing is in these rural counties that lack juvenile detention centers. We face a lot of resistance from these rural sheriffs when it comes to raising the age to 18 for adult incarceration.
So, Michelle, it sounds like they've already segregated the 17-year-olds out of the adult system, but that's not your main concern. It's more about they've no more second chances for you. Is that it?
No, it goes well beyond that. First of all, the vast majority of the 17-year-olds aren't winding up in prison. It's true that they are separated out when they're in the adult prison, but even there, they're not getting the level of services that they would be getting if they were in the juvenile correctional system. But for the vast majority of these 17-year-olds, they're not ever making it into prison. The question is what kind of programs and services would they get in the adult probation system, and also whether they're going to have records that are going to haunt them for the rest of their lives. Another thing to keep in mind is also the outcomes. Research has shown that kids under age 18 who go into adult prisons or into the adult criminal justice system have a 34% worse recidivism rate, violent recidivism rate, than kids in the juvenile system. So it actually affects public safety whether we're keeping kids in the juvenile system or sending them to the adult system.
Now,
They also have worse rates of when they're in adult prisons and jails, they have much higher rates of suicide and sexual assault and being physically assaulted.
Now, going back to what Rick Perry was saying, that he would not certify Texas as complying with the Prison Rape Elimination Act, and one of the things he focused on was the 17-year-old, 18-year-old threshold for an adult offender. And it sounds like, and he was saying that this would be cost prohibitive for Texas to make that adjustment, but it sounds like that Texas already has pretty much a system in place, but we just need to figure out how we're going to classify people, Michelle?
Well, it's actually a little bit more complicated than that. I think he was probably referring mostly to the jails, not the prisons.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to deal with the jails. He only has to certify the state prison system.
That's correct. But the kind of comments that he was making suggested he had jails in mind. And for many jails around the state, in order for the jails to comply with PREA, they have to, the Prison Rape Elimination Act, they have to separate the 17-year-olds from the rest of the jail population. And most jails are not architecturally designed in a way that they can do that easily, and they don't have the staff to be able to manage that population separately.
But sure, but looking again at Rick Perry and his responsibilities and his job and what he covers, and he doesn't have to deal with county jails and city jails. It's the state prison system, and him saying that the state prison system can't accommodate raising the age of adult crimes from 17 to 18. That it seems like there's more there to.
That's correct. That's not really as big an issue for the prison system as it is for the jails.
Okay, and so, Lance, real quickly, summer's coming. I know there's a press conference tomorrow talking about the heat in Texas prisons that we see prison guards have to work in them, and we lose the lives of some prisoners in the state. Tell me a little bit about that.
We've lost 14 known inmates to heat-related illness in the last 7 years. Correctional officers are also adversely affected by the heat. It's non-discriminatory.
Yeah, you're in there, too.
In 2012, we had over 92 correctional officers that were affected by adverse heat conditions in our prison.
So that's going to be something to watch. More news coming out of that tomorrow, looking at Texas prisons and the heat burden that we have. And so I want to thank both of our guests, Michelle Deitch. She is the senior lecturer at the LBJ School of Public Affairs at UT Austin. Lance Lowry, correction officer, head of the union and at Huntsville and Prison Union. This is The Source on KSTX, and we'll be right back after this NPR break.